This is Brian Croft. Welcome to another edition of Trench Talk, the podcast of Practical Shepherding. And I'm joined with Jim Sebastio. We're going to get started here in just a minute. Before we do that, you can go to practicalshepherding.com. You can access all of our resources that are there. You can go to the contact page and reach out to us. Let us know a way we could help. You can even give a podcast suggestion. A lot of the podcast topics we cover are things that people have written in through social media and that contact page asking us to cover some topics. So if you have something you'd like us to address, we'd love to hear from you and let us know what that would be. But we like to jump right in and just get on the topic. And this topic came in through social media, and a really great question, one we've really never addressed before. And so we always kind of look for those. And this is definitely one of those. And somebody wrote in, Jim, and asked us to, how much do we prioritize where we live in regard to where our church, our ministry is located? Mm. This is a great question. This is a debated question. So naturally, we want to be able to have this conversation. It's also something that you and I have both wrestled with and made different decisions on,
mm-hmm.
depending on the season of life and the season of family life and ministry and things. So we felt like this would be a relevant conversation. It's also, let me add, it's also something every single pastor deals with.
Right.
Whether, hey, do we go live in the parsonage because they're offering it to us and they have it, or it's, you know, it's too expensive, it's just way too, you can't afford to live near a church. There's all these factors, and we get pretty regular questions about this. So this is a great topic. So, Jim, why don't you start us off, though, with, let's just still want to think biblically about what's a category biblically we can think about when we talk about how pastors make decisions around where we live in regard to our ministry.
Brian, the text that comes to mind is in 1 Peter chapter 5, a text we refer to often, and the phrase that Peter uses, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And the idea there is that you are among your sheep are among you. There's a general sense, as the scriptures teach us, that shepherds know their flocks and their flocks know their shepherd. There is obviously the matter of love and care. There's what Paul talks about in Acts 20, publicly and privately from house to house. And again, we're recognizing that in some of this, it's a different age, it's a different time. But Paul, you know, was near the church there in Ephesus. And of course, you know, it wasn't that he lived outside the city, and it wasn't that there was a bunch of people outside the city coming to the church. It appears they were, when talking about a local church, it really was in that sense a local church, and think perhaps more historically along the lines of a parish church or, you know, again, or a small town church where the people in the church live near the church building and people are close to one another. I think we live in a different society, at least many of us do, who are in city settings, urban settings. Suburban settings are different than rural settings. And so I think certain things have to be thought through that were maybe a given in days gone by. You know, you lived near the building, and in living near the building, you lived near your people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily, you know, if we're asking the question, that's probably part of what we need to talk about, because where our people are concentrated may not be where our building is. And you know, so that's something we might need to think through.
Yeah, those are all great points. And I think before we get into the just kind of the wisdom of it, some principles we want to think about sharing, because obviously every situation is case by case. It's different for everybody, different context. I think it might be helpful for us to start just from some personal biography side for each one of us, yeah, in regard to this issue. Before I do that, I do want to highlight, a lot of times you and I will pull from history. We'll look back and see what pastors did in regard to different issues, what's mm-hmm. been the pattern. The thing is, that's not as applicable, I don't think, because, you know, 200 years ago, you had to basically be able to walk or get on a horse to go somewhere.
Right, I mean, right.
So you're not dealing with the transportation issues that that we have now in the modern day, which do affect this conversation.
And affects, again, some pastors and some churches more than others because of certain theologies or preachers or practices. There may be people drawn from a variety of areas, you know, to
That's
go,
right.
you know, which we've dealt with in our past as a church, you know, having people come an hour hour and a half to drive,
right?
Which that's a whole nother topic of, you know, where can you really have a local church life when people are so scattered?
Yeah,
that's another issue.
That's good. And also, I think I've never done a study on this, but you know, a lot of the parsonages that are attached to churches,
yeah,
are as old as the churches are.
Right.
There was clearly, at least depending on the denomination, and the churches would build a house to be able to house their pastor.
Right.
That was just kind of part of the deal.
Right.
And so obviously that makes some kind of obvious statement of, you know, we either want to provide this for the pastor or we want the pastor near, just to be able, because
right,
the church became the center of community life in so many of these different towns historically.
Right.
So let's start with some biography, Jim. Like what, talk about it for yourself as far as you all moved here. You came and planted a church 30 plus years ago. You didn't live here, so you moved here from,
right,
I guess it was New York. You guys moved from
New York? Yeah, I'm in New York, New Jersey.
Yeah. So you moved down here to plant a church.
Yep.
Talk us through how you all went about, where did we first move to when we got here, and did we make changes as the church, you began to plant the church, you begin to have a building, all those kinds of things?
Yeah. So it's interesting, things did change through the years, but I had a general conviction. I wanted to be as close to certain people as possible, and I wanted to be as close to our meeting place as possible. So we met in, when I first came here, the very first time I came, the church was meeting in somebody's home. For those who know Louisville's in the Shively area. And then then we moved to what was the Holiday Inn East over by the airport, and that's now, I think, Sullivan University. I can never remember which university it is. Has those premises now. That's actually where the church constituted. And then we were over off Blankenbaker Road, an old school called McKendry College, Business College.
Which is on the other side of town.
Which is now, yeah, so we keep moving east, you know,
right,
at that point. So Shively, you know, very neighborhood, old neighborhood type, then a more open setting, but in a hotel, and then we had a whole building essentially to ourselves on Sunday. We only used two or three rooms, but we had the building. It was a very small, still there, off Blankenbaker Road, though it's now something else. And then we found the property that we're living, that we're currently in. We've been since 1996, and we built a building, and we've added on to it since then. It wasn't until we knew where that property was going to be that we bought a home. So we were in rental homes, and we had made a conscious decision that we were going to wait until we knew where the building was and try to be within 10 minutes of it.
That's interesting.
And so we're 7 miles away. It takes, depending on the traffic, usually between eight and 10 minutes to get to church. So that was right where we wanted to be. And I could go through the reasons why, but, you know, maybe we can go back and forth on it. But there were reasons why we wanted to be able to do that, to be close to the, at least where the church gathered.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. So talk about how much time are we talking? When did you all, how far into the church plant did you buy the building, which means you rented that long, correct?
Yeah, so we rented, the fellowship, which we called the Fellowship, Reformed Baptist Fellowship, that started in 1989. In 1990, they moved to the Holiday Inn. They were a Holiday Inn from mid-90 to 92-ish. Then from 92 to 96, we were at McKendry College.
Oh, wow. You rented
seven, 8 years.
Oh, wow.
In a home or renting. And then we were able to bike. And we were a small group, but, you know, that's a whole nother history. The Lord added some people, particularly two families that were extremely generous and made the purchase of land. Of course, at that time, we bought the land probably in 94.
Yeah.
$75,000 for 6 acres.
Yeah, it'd be a little more today.
And we started, continued to collect funds, and then we started to build in 96 and moved in October. I could look it up and tell you. It was the day after the Yankees won the 1996 World Series.
That's the reference point for sure.
Yeah. So that was the day we moved in and had our first service in our building.
No, that's really helpful. I'm just you could have bought a home and said we're going to live here until, but when you rented, it gave you a flexibility to move around.
Yeah,
with the
so
church.
We moved around. I mean, our family moved around because when we first moved here, the church put us up in a, because we were only supposed to be here for 3 months. They put us up in a furnished apartment, which was somebody's basement on Hikes Lane. Again, sorry for Louisville references. And then we had two different homes. You know, that we were able to, as you know, the family grew, and we had a nice home for about 4 years that would have been in some ways still kind of within, would have been more like 12 miles away, 10 miles away, 10, 12 miles away, and would have taken more like 15, 20 minutes to get there. But that was a rental home. But again, we made a determination as soon as we knew where the building was,
yeah,
that was, and was basically trying to draw a circle around that and say we wanted to be about 10 minutes away.
So last question on this. So you, once you knew what the building was, you chose to buy a home. Where you bought a home, which you're still in,
yeah,
correct?
27 years yeah. later, yeah.
So this home you're in, was there any question on whether it was affordable for you to be able to get a home, at least in the area that you bought a home at that time?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, again, back then
it was pretty affordable back then.
Yeah, I mean, I bought a house, you know, for $112,005,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, which today would go for $250,000, $260,000, $270,000, probably,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, so the point is that as you were looking for homes, you were able to say, we can actually afford a home in this area where the church
is. Yeah, and it's a less expensive area than some areas of, yep, Louisville, and it's an older home, you know, it was a, you know, little ranch house, and it suited us, and we've been able to raise, you know, four kids there, and host people overnight and have lots of fellowship. You know, we just recently did some expansion in the house in order to show more hospitality, make it easier for hospitality.
I bring that up because I know that is a major issue a lot of pastors deal with. They have a desire to live in the community where their church is, but in many ways, they
not
can't
not everybody can afford
to. They can't afford to.
No,
so that's why I'm asking that.
This is a hard time even to have some of this discussion for some guys because houses have...
Well, but
it becomes so outrageous.
This is why this discussion needs to be had.
Yeah,
because you can't just assume, well, just go live close to. Well, what if I can? I talk to all kinds of guys around that cannot afford, based on what the church is paying them. Ironically, they cannot afford to live in the community,
yeah,
where their pastors. And
so, I'll tell you a real story real quickly. You'll appreciate this because it involves our friend Bill Hughes.
Okay.
If I could live where I wanted to, I would like most ideally live. I'd like to live even closer. Though I think again, we'll get into this later on, but if I could live anywhere there, so there's like a house across the street from the church. It's an old farmhouse.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I'd necessarily want that one, but maybe one of the ones up the hill. Well, these houses, you go up where our building is, we're kind of in a little, a setting. It's almost a farm type setting. There's a pasture to one side of us. There's,
yep,
this, veterinarian owns a home, and there's horses and other things, you know, near us. But if you go up this hill, there's these very nice houses. And I was driving our mutual friend, Bill Hughes, who we've mentioned several times, mm-hmm, on here, our English friend from Liverpool, you know, that we were, and I was driving Bill up there once to show him these houses. And he goes, these are very nice, James, you know. And I said, yes. I said, I mean, if I could live anywhere, I'd want to live here because I would love to be that close to the church. It'd be so great to have just an ease of hospitality. Hey, we're just right up the hill. Come on up, you know, and enough room. And I said, but there's no way I could ever afford it. I said, and he goes, have you told God that? I always remember that line. Yeah, you know, it's just like, no, I didn't need to. I almost felt like, I didn't need to, Bill. But, you know,
oh, I love that.
But that's a great, it was a great line. Have you told God that? Well, you know, that,
and when
that,
he
that,
says that, it, you like,
you're like,
no, I haven't.
No, I haven't. I guess I should.
He's,
you know,
Bill, he has the ability to stare through your soul.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that he calls you James. That's,
yes,
a different conversation, but I just want you to know that. Okay, so let me briefly just share kind of how I've had to deal with this. I lived in, my wife and I bought a home. It was our second home we'd owned, but we built a home. We designed it. We even painted the house exactly like we wanted it. We move in. We got two little kids. And we lived there for 8 months. And I feel called to go to Auburndale.
Oh.
Which is across the river. We were in Indiana at the time. We were in Indiana at the time. And so Auburndale is in Louisville, across the river. And in a rougher part of town,
yeah,
homes are not as nice and they're more expensive. And so, but I felt called to go there. And I also realized I felt like we needed to move into the community to be able to effectively minister in this particular context. And so my wife, she was willing to move out of her brand new home we had just built that we painted and designed and everything.
Wow.
And move to an older home that needed work. That was, you know, that was 5 miles from the church in the south end of Louisville. And, you know, that was a hard move, but I felt the conviction that we needed to do that. And, you know, she obviously felt like there was reasons for us to be able to do that, kind of to be able to go all in this church situation. We knew the culture was such that, you know, you're already seen as an outsider, even though it's a city and it's urban. There's different pockets within the city of Louisville, for those who don't know, that they're kind of their own communities, and
right,
really dense and urban,
yep,
but there's people who just live there their whole life,
right,
and it's got some rural pieces to it. We had learned that we already were seen as outsiders. There's no way we were going to be effective if we didn't live in the community to be able to be able to meet people, to be able to invite people to church, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So we moved there, and it was hard, and it was good. I look back on it. We lived in that house for 11 years, first 11 years of my ministry at Auburndale, and people who know what happened there can, you know, it was important for us to live in the community to begin to try to be accepted in the community,
right,
as well as the church. Something happened, some things that happened with my family. My kids were getting older. The schools were a disaster in that end of town, some of the worst in the state, not the city, the state.
Yeah.
So we are trying to figure out school options for us as our kids are getting into grade school and into middle school. And we realized, just in good conscience, we couldn't send them there. But the east side, where you all are, the schools are better, and we were willing to try to get them into the schools there. And that's what we did. That's the decision we made as a family, to try to figure out schooling for our kids. Once we did that, the commute for my wife to get kids to school every day was going to be just non-sustainable.
Right.
So because of that, after 11 years, we actually moved across town,
yeah,
from the church. We ended up, without traffic, we moved to a place that was probably a 25 to 30 minute drive for me back to the church. But it was a family decision. So the first 11 years, we made a decision and even sacrificed so, yeah, we could be in the community. But within 11 years, I'm established in the community and I'm established in the church.
Right.
And I had a family need that we needed to address. And so we bought a house, which was, by the way, harder because it was more expensive on that end of town. We found a house we could afford. It's kind of, the idea was to kind of get in this house, and so we could be able to get kids in school in certain places. I'm telling this story because this is a very common situation for a lot of pastors with kids and young families. And we made that move, and we made the move because of the schools mainly. But what I found is we were at a point in our ministry where my wife needed some more space from the church.
Yeah.
My family actually needed more space from the church 11 years in after all that had happened. And it ended up being a really good move for my family, just in general, to have a little more distance from the church after that than we had before. And now it did affect hospitality. It did affect, you know, being able to invite somebody to church. That was part of one of the things I had to be able to deal with. And then I was at the church for another 6 years before I transitioned out. But I share that story because that move was made because it was best for my family to make that move. And I've been able to, there's a lot of guys out there who feel like they have to choose between, do I live where I live because it's best for my ministry or it's best for my family? And I want to put that out there before we kind of get into this, as we get into principles around this, because that is a legit tension that a lot of guys are feeling. So, but I want to say that ended up being a great move for us as a family. And I would say gave me maybe a few more years at the church that I would have had because of just, my family was wearing out from ministry and all the things that were going on. Okay, so let's shift, Jim, to just kind of principles around this. I wanted to be able to take some time for us to share our stories because I believe out of our stories, there's a lot of things that a lot of guys are going to be able to connect with, just to know these are the context where we're coming from. What would you say, what are some just general principles? Let's go back and forth. How do you determine where you live? You're coming from church planning. I'm coming from going into an established church.
Right.
But nonetheless, what are some just general principles we should give guys to think about when they're deciding if they're taking a ministry position or they're planning a church? Where do they live? How close do they live? What are the factors they need to think about? What's one for you?
Yeah. So again, I think we have to make the distinction, and in some cases, there's not going to be a distinction or any difference between where your people are and where your building is. I mean, very often those things are very closely related. Many people, people choose church because it's nearby. That was not the case with me, because we were a confessional Reformed Baptist church, and 30 years ago, there were not many of those things, and people that wanted that were willing to drive. You know, so we had people from all over the city that were coming. They were coming expressly, not because we were the church down the street or because they saw our building. It was just because that they wanted this kind of church. It was a little bit different. But I had to try to decide, you know, is the building the hub of the ministry? That is, that people are coming there. Is Sunday or Wednesday the primary matter, or is it again more like, well, where are most of our people located? Can I be closer to them? Because a lot of your ministry is going to be done the other 5 days of the week. And so I think those are the things. Is there a concentration of where people are? I think there's something very attractive to me about this. We were looking at moving our location, the building. There was a church building that became available in a very easily accessible part of town. And that church building backed up to a neighborhood. And we thought, my wife and I talked about that, if the church moved, that we would want to move into that neighborhood.
I remember this.
There was something really exciting to us both about that what would that be like to actually feel like you're now almost like a parish church? You know, you're the pastor of that church. You're the pastor of the neighborhood church, and that you're connected. There's no neighborhood. I mean, as I mentioned, there's this road that goes up for these.
That's true.
These nice
you have
houses.
No neighborhoods around you.
We don't have. If we wanted to knock on doors, you know, we would risk our lives to try to, you know, get into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, Auburndale's more in a neighborhood, and other churches are more neighborhood type churches. We're not.
Right.
And so that, you know, there's some benefits to where we are, but there's things that aren't so good. So like, well, where am I going to meet people? Where is my ministry going to be? Where's my office going to be? Is my office going to be in the home? Is it going to be in the church? Is it going to be at the church building? Am I going to do most of my meetings at my home, at the church, outside the church? You know, those kinds of things, I think it's going to be different from pastor to pastor and from church to church.
Yeah.
But where's the hub of that going to be? Is the hub of my life and my ministry? For some, it's very easy to have it be there at the building. Again, it's so the people are nearby. It's easy to meet there. It's accessible. Others, it just doesn't matter as much for you in that regard.
That is an excellent one. I'm glad you brought that one up first, because I think that's a really just important thing to be thinking about. Where's the hub of this ministry? Because it's not always the church building, is it?
No.
And I think, you know, it was interesting in my situation, the older members who've been members a long time, they all lived around the church. Like you said, we were surrounded by homes and neighborhoods in this dense urban area at Auburndale. But as the church started to revitalize and as the church started bringing in new people, they weren't just from the neighborhood somewhere, but a lot of them were coming from other places. Like you're saying, they wanted to come be a part of this. And there was a centrally located area where a lot of them were coming from. So I started, as things started happening, I started to realize I'm actually setting up meetings with people in this spot, not the church.
Right.
And so the hub started to shift from just being the church building to a couple of different locations where there's a concentrated amount of people that were coming from that. And so I pivoted and made changes in where I was functioning, where I was sitting and writing my sermon, where I was doing these different things. So that is an excellent question to ask, I think. Where's the hub of the ministry? And let that determine in part where you potentially live, because that's where your people are going to be. That's a great one. I'll throw one out there. I think you have to have an honest assessment of what can you afford to buy if you want to buy a home, or what can you afford to rent, even if you're moving into some very expensive urban city that even the rent is just astronomical to try to do. So, and I think it's one of the conversations. I can think of three or four conversations in the last month I've had with past guys who are interviewing with churches, and they're coming to me and asking questions about what about this and this and this. And every single one of them are, we'll sell our home we own where we live now and move there. And the houses are double
right.
what our house is,
right,
to live near the church or even to live remotely in the area. And they're one of their questions for me, how do we do this? And so that is a very, I mean, we don't like to talk about money, but the reality is that's a big question you have to ask.
It's a huge question today.
And when you're talking to a church, and I try to help with this when churches reach out to me, churches, are they paying their pastor enough to where they can comfortably live in the community where the church is located? And I do think that's something churches have to really wrestle with, especially with a lot of churches who just are not generous in paying their pastor, or they can't. And so they're asking somebody to come, but they can't afford to pay him what he needs to be able to live near the church.
Yeah, or they have a mindset from 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, my mortgage was $750.
Oh, that's a great point.
And you just have it set in your mind. Anyway, I think, Brian, another important issue is hospitality, and that deals both with, in some ways, you know, house size and also location. But you may have to be in a situation, particularly today, where housing is so expensive, to ask, okay, we need to have a place to take care of people, but, you know, will it be at our home, or will we, like, cook a meal and have somebody at the, you know, just say, well, hey, there's a fellowship hall at the church. You know, so you say to a family that's new, hey, we'd love to get to know you better. We're going to bring a meal next Sunday, you know, and we could just stick around, have lunch with us, sit at the table with us. And, you know, and then at our building, we also have we call it our living room. We have several couches and stuffed chairs and things like that for people to be able to feel at home.
Yeah.
Bookshelves and that sort of stuff give a kind of a homey feel. Now, again, it was important to me to be able to live close enough. And you know, I'm going to say this, and he doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't think but one of our elders lives 45 minutes away. I mean, one of our elders lives in Frankfurt. And to me, that was something of a discussion when he was going to be made an elder. Now, he does show hospitality, but it's a different thing to say to somebody on Sunday, hey, we'd love to have you over. You know, we're 45, 50 minutes away. And then evening services at 5. So, yeah, you know, right. It's going to be tight, rather than saying, look, we're 10 minutes away. You know, our house is 3 turns and you're at our house, you know, whatever, from the church. Or, you know, so we live close by. Another one of our elders lives fairly close to us, or also very close by. Another one of our elders has maybe a 15-minute drive, to the church. But I think, you know, taking that into consideration, that we want to have people over, when we get to know people, I think as far as your location is important. I would add to that, this is where, Brian, you brought out your sensitivity to your family. It may be wise to be close, but not too close, because some people, again, may feel like, oh, that's almost our house, particularly if it's a parson, that's just part of the church. And that they have a right to your home and to your time and to your family's time, intrude upon your family time in a way that may be very difficult for your wife and kids.
Yeah, let me address that a moment, because I get asked this a lot about parsonage. I can't afford to be the pastor of this church other than they can provide this housing for us and then pay this salary. And I just want to say that I'll speak generally. Here's the general advice I give. I'm not a huge fan of parsonages, because with the work we do, we see a lot of pastorates go wrong. So
yeah.
I see pastors who move their family in the parsonage, and 2 years they get fired and run off, and they not only lose their job in the church, they lose their home.
Right.
So I'm not a fan of parsonages in that way. I will say this, though, I'm not against, I don't discourage people from moving to the parsonage if that's what they feel like they need to do. Here's what I tell people. If you're going to move into the parsonage and go all in this ministry at this church, set a goal within 5 years of you being the pastor there, that you move out of the parsonage, you buy your own home in the community, and you use that parsonage to put another staff person in and use it for ministry. Hmm. That's the general advice I give for a couple reasons. One, I think long term, the best way to invest as a somebody in, you know, the middle class, basically, of America, the best way to invest well with your resources is to be able to buy a home and live in it for 30 years And that's something that you can't do when you live in a parsonage. And I actually watch some guys who stay in parsonage a long time. If they're not smart and either set money aside for retirement, or they buy something anyways to be able to have a home, then they're hitting 65 and 70 years old, and they have no place to go, literally, to live when they retire. I'm seeing this, actually. It's interesting. I've seen this in other countries. There's a ministry in the Philippines that is specifically caring for pastors who are retiring from churches and are getting literally homeless because they live in the parsonage the whole time. That's just kind of how the setup is. So I just want to emphasize, I'm not against parsonages all out. Long term, I am. But the second reason I want to bring that up is I think it's really hard on your family long term, to your point, to live that close and to not have your own space. You may love it because you're all in and with your ministry.
Right.
But you have a wife, you have kids. Most of the wife and kids that I meet who are pastors, wives, pastors' kids, it just becomes too overwhelming for your whole life all the time to be there. There's no privacy. There's no break from it all. So I would encourage you to keep that in mind when you're talking parsonage. So Jim, we got to wrap this in a minute, but anything else you want to add in regard to what guys should be thinking about around how to determine where they live?
Yeah, I get back, Brian, again to the, you know, this public and private aspect of our ministry and being among our people as best we can. Again, this is trying to have the realism, the balance, the caveats in regard to family and having some, you know, what I might call sacred family time and that sort of a thing. But, you know, in the time that we give ourselves in the 30, 40, 50 years, hopefully, maybe sometimes that you might be able to give yourself over to ministry, to try to as best you can love and invest in these people, and your home is going to be a big part of that. And so, you know, thinking through, again, not only, you know, enough room for my kids, you know, in meeting our own family needs, but as best you can, and again, given the time and day in which we live, maybe the Lord will turn things around here in our country and make things more affordable. But as you think about your home, you're going to have to be thinking about your flock and your ministry as well, and not just, you know, there are enough bedrooms, bathrooms, but, you know, what can we do to make our home, because our calling is to, you know, give ourselves over to hospitality and to show an example of that to the flock of what generous Christianity looks like. Our lives are people, and you know, our lives and our ministries are about others. Our home is not just our own; it's not just our refuge, but it is also a place of love and fellowship and ministry.
Yeah, I want to affirm what you said in regard to hospitality, and that is one of the disadvantages of the move we made. We were able to be very hospitable in the first 10 years of my ministry at the church, in part because we lived close and people could just come to the church, come to the house after church. When we moved to the other side of town, that changed. It made it harder. We moved to a house that wasn't as hospitality friendly, even as our other house. So the things we're talking about actually matter, and we had to adjust to try to figure out how to be hospitable on that end of town and that house and those kind of things. But I want to affirm that, and I think the general tenor, Jim, what we've been talking about is it's ideal to live in the community if you can of your church. For these reasons, or at least where your people are, there's a lot of advantages to that. Yeah. I think both of us have affirmed that. However, I do want to highlight that every situation is different. And I think if you have to choose between what's best for your ministry and what's best for your family, I think you have to choose what's best for your family because I think that decision usually determines if you keep doing your ministry. I want to end with a story that kind of makes this point. Had a pastor friend of mine a few years ago came to me. He lives in one of the biggest, most expensive cities. He planted a church in one of the biggest, most expensive cities in the Northeast. And they live near the church. And it's obviously like downtown, big city life. And obviously the expense of living in think of like living in a New York City, you know, just to try to make that work. It was not there, but it's a version of that. And he came to me really burdened. And he said, you know, he's been pastor of this church 8 or 10 years now. His kids are getting older, middle school age, things.
Yeah.
And he came to me and just really burdened because his wife wants to move to a place where there's a bit more space. Their kids are getting bigger. Yeah. They're in a small urban place, renting all these years. And their kids want to be able to ride their bike on the street. They can't do that. They want to be able to have a little bit of a yard to be able to play in. And he came to me really burdened that he wants to be able to provide this, but he feels like he's being unfaithful to his ministry if he moved.
Mm.
And I said, he even seemed surprised with my response. And I said, you should move yesterday. And I just emphasized to him, you could tell, because if this is about, what's best for your family, which he clearly communicated, this is where my wife is at this point, this is where my kids are, then you move. Because that move is not, choosing your family over your ministry when there is a crossroad like that, I have found usually helps your ministry and allows you to keep doing it.
Mm.
And so I want to share that at the end of this podcast episode, Jim, just to say, I think that's ultimately the determining factor. Living in the community, ideal. Living near the church, but maybe not on top of the church, that's ideal. But to be able to be in the community, to know where where your people are. But if it comes down to making a decision that's best for your family or your ministry, I want to encourage you to make that decision that's best for your family, not just because they're supposed to be first, ultimately, but because I do believe it actually will help your ministry to take care of your family like that.
Yeah, and because, as well, Brian, just to add this little part to what you're saying, is that, we have cars, we're not talking about getting on a horse or walking, people are used to driving, 25 minutes to go to a better shopping mall or to a better restaurant.
That's right.
And so they're going to be willing to drive an extra few minutes to your home or you to theirs.
That's right.
In today's world.
So, Jimmy, there's a lot of wisdom needed with these decisions and things. We take a minute and just pray for pastors that wisdom around it.
Father, thank you for this time to have this discussion today. We thank you again, Father, for your word and spirit that lead and guide us. And Father, pray that would be the case for anybody listening and wrestling through these areas today. Give them help, Heavenly Father. Let them know that you're with them and that you hear them and that your spirit guides. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.